Well, saints, it's always so good that we could set aside this time, have a day like this where we can prepare together for the upcoming Truth School. This is one of the biggest ventures that we have, especially corporately all year long. I believe last year we had more than 500 participate in the Truth School here in the Northeast. So there's a lot invested of time, energy, resources, finances, a lot is invested. And it is well worth it, we have seen over these years, to set aside such time. I mean, not only today, but the Truth School, to have this, we have been reaping the benefit. We have been reaping the benefit, not just in the Northeast, but in the Lord's recovery of such an endeavor of getting into the truth like this in such a consistent, systematic way. The burden of the Truth School is somewhat different than the conferences that we have with our young people. Of course, to the young people, it may look all the same. We come together. Now a lot of the things are held here at Penuel, and they stay in the same cabins, whether it's a conference or the Truth School. It's just that the Truth School's a little bit longer. Well, it's a lot longer. And there are some extra things, but there are also some good extra things, like the things we do in the afternoons and so on. But it's kind of special in that regard. But the burden of the Truth School is of course related to this matter of the truth. And if you recall, we have said this in the past, we have a publication like this, the four great pillars in the Lord's recovery. What is the Lord's recovery? To a great extent, the Lord's recovery is firstly a recovery of the truth. Of course, it's a recovery of Christ. It's a recovery of Christ, of the person of Christ. But how do we know this Christ? It is through his word. And so many things have been lost in our history, in our Christian history, church history. So much of the truth has been lost, covered, actually, and we'll get into some of these things in the course of the content, but lost to the Christian population. So many things lost to the Christian population. You know, the first of the six books of the Summer School of Truth, the first level, I think most of us should know this, is salvation, right? Salvation, God's full salvation. This was lost. This was lost for, my goodness, maybe a millennia. For a thousand years, God's people were not clear. What is salvation? It came to the point where people thought that you'd have to do something physically. You have to even pay money related to salvation. It was lost. But what happened? What happened was that one brother, through the Bible, through one verse in the Bible, something happened. And what was that? I'm referring to, of course, Martin Luther and this verse that appears several times in the scriptures. The just shall live by faith. Just this verse. It's in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament a couple of times. The just shall live by faith. Just this. The just shall live by faith. Six words of this Bible. Do you know those six words change the course of human history? I mean, it's not just Christian history. They change the course of human history. Because out of this comes what is called in history the Reformation. I mean, wars have been fought. I mean, so much has occurred just through those little six words. because they became spirit and life to one man. Those words became spirit and life, became alive. They came off from the page, got infused as spirit and life into one man, and it changed history. It changed history. So yes, salvation as a kind of fundamental point, salvation. But this leads to a person, Christ, leads to a person. So you could say it's the recovery of salvation. You could say it's the recovery of Christ. You could say it's the recovery of the truth. But actually, brothers and sisters, everything, including the recovery of Christ, comes back to the truth, the Bible. And of course, this year we are on this topic, and this is the lesson book. We'll talk later about all books, but this is the lesson book we're using, the Bible. This is our topic, the Bible, the Word of God. And I don't know if I would, we can say this is the most important, but this year I think we can say this is the most important of the six levels. I know we say that each year, it seems like, but it does seem, especially where we are in this age, especially where we are and what we're facing. And we'll get into this more in the next session. Everything is based on this book. Everything is based on the Bible. There is a fight in this nation. There's a fight in this nation, actually, over this book. Do you believe what's in this book, or don't you? That's really the question that is facing this generation, our nation. Do you believe what this book says? That it's God's word, yes or no? In a good sense, that's every issue. Every issue comes back to this. God's word says something. Do you take it or do you don't? You don't take it. That's what we're facing today. We'll get more into that later. But really, it seems this. I'm just so happy that we are on this topic this year, right now, at this point in time. We need this topic. We all need to be reinfused with the Bible. Amen. With the burden of the Bible. You know, when we summarize the burden of the true school, sometimes we just use these two or three portions, maybe four. We use this, what we just read, John 6:63, yeah, together with 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Maybe I'll write those on the board. I'll write these in two sets. Let me write some other verses first, so that in case we have some serving for the first time with us, you would have these in a kind of an order. 1 Timothy 2:4, and then 1 Timothy 3:15. That's one set. And then we have 2 Timothy 3:16, really to 17, and then John, the book of John, 6:63. You could say that these four verses summarize the burden of the true school. This verse, 1 Timothy 2:4, says, what is God's desire? That God desires, you know this, all men to firstly what? Be saved. And secondly what? Come to the full knowledge of the truth. Come to the full knowledge of the truth. That's it. It just tells us, in summary, what is God's desire? God desires all men to be saved. Firstly, saved. That's why salvation has to be our first topic. And to come to the full knowledge of the truth, right? Then 1 Timothy 3:15 says that the church is the house of the living God and the pillar and base of the truth. That means that the church on the earth, it should be a pillar holding up truth, holding up, displaying truth. That means whenever anyone contacts the church, but what does it mean to contact the church? It means to contact you and me, either when we're by ourselves or we're together, which means in our daily life or in our meeting life. When someone comes to lunch with two brothers, when someone has coffee with two sisters, when they go to the group meeting, when they're in a home meeting, when they're in a young people's meeting, when they're in the church meeting, truth should be on display. But then what is truth? And we have this publication, Teacher's Training. I thought I saw a copy. Someone had a copy before, which I think a few copies are available in the book room. I hope we sell these out today. The book room just through the lobby here. Teacher's Training, I'm just really in a few minutes summarizing the burden here. Four messages given by Brother Lee in 1984, which we are still reaping the benefit of. It's incredible. 35 years ago, he shared these messages, but they are really giving life to us through the Lord's Word, and here the first main point is, what is truth? Truth in the Greek, a very rich word. Whether you say aletheia, because that's the name that comes out of it, or aletheia, I don't know what the proper pronunciation. Aletheia. I know that aletheia sounds more nice to be a name. So some people call their daughters aletheia. There are aletheias among us in the churches, in the Lord's. Aletheia or aletheia is the word translated as truth and as reality. Yeah, and it says in John, I think it's 36, in John 8, 36, 32 and 36. John 8, 32 and 36. You shall know the Son. The Son will set you free. Then it says, truth will set you free. Right. Which means what? Which means what? Truth is actually the reality of the Son. Truth is the reality of the triune God. Amen. How do you know that you know God in reality? Well, according to that verse, that means you're free from something. Right. You're free. You're not bound. But we have to admit that our young people are bound by many things. They're bound by the world. They're bound by their phone. They're bound by the trends of the age. Some are still bound by sin. Some are bound by their temper. Some are bound by their mood. So many things, actually not just them. Maybe we also experience still being bound by things. What does that mean? That means we could benefit from the true school. Actually, it means we don't have enough reality, truth. Some of us are bound by concepts, a way of thinking, that we have been shaped to think that way because of our upbringing and because of the present world. It has shaped us to think a certain way, to evaluate things in certain ways, to prioritize things in certain ways. And so people value the things you can see, and they don't value the things you can't see. You know, it says in Corinthians, the things that we see are temporary. The things that are not seen are eternal. We should value those things. But how do you know those things? Actually, through the Bible. I would say, actually, it's through faith. But where does faith come from? Well, the Bible itself tells us that faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. So faith comes from the Word, from the Bible. And then there are Galatians that talks about the hearing of faith. How can you get faith? Faith comes from hearing someone else speak the Word of God. When we are under the speaking of the Word, faith comes. That happens in the gospel. By the way, next Saturday, right? Our 5th and 6th graders in New York, we're preaching the gospel. We're gathering. We have 62 of them, 5th and 6th graders. Some of them are already saved and baptized, but we're still trying to gather all of them. And 62, there might be a few more. That was the number in January. But we're trying to gather them to speak the word. Actually, the saints have been speaking all these weeks. And what do we expect next Saturday afternoon? That faith will be generated within them. They don't have faith because they were born in that family that way. We want to let them know that doesn't make them believers. They have to believe themselves. Where does it come from? They won't wake up next Saturday morning thinking, today I will be saved. No, they don't think that way. People don't go to the gospel meeting thinking, yeah, I think tonight I will go to that Christian place and be saved. No, they go there obligated. Well, my friend invited me, I gotta go, and I'm not sure I want to go anymore. Don't you think unbelievers think that way? Then they go to the meeting, they hear the word, and they don't even know. I want that. I want what you said. What faith comes from the Bible. Amen. And that principle governs our whole life. Our whole life. In faith through our contact with the Word. So, and then this living contact with the Word. Oh, then the words I speak are spirit and life. The words become life to us. They become spirit to us. And then in 2 Timothy 3:16, 17 talks about that the word, the God-breathed, profitable, it operates in many, many ways. Oh, one of my favorite lessons that we'll touch this year is the functions of the Bible. Oh, that's a great lesson. Whoso gets the opportunity, the privilege to speak on those lessons, you just have to realize how special it is that you have that privilege. Remember, maybe a little word to the brothers who will end up speaking the lessons. You know, one time Brother Ed Marks, do you remember this? He gave a testimony in one of his visits. One time he was walking to a meeting, or he saw a brother that day before he was going to give a message that night. And then he said to the brother, oh, brother, I have to speak tonight. And the brother said, no, Brother Ed, you get to speak tonight. It's a difference. It's not, oh, I have to speak. I have the privilege of speaking tonight. Amen. God's word. Oh, and those whoever gets assigned these on the functions of the Bible, that's the Bible works. Touch this afternoon in so many different ways. Amen. So we have like 20 different points on how the word functions. Anyway, so the burden of the true school is really to produce the pillar and base of the truth in this age, which we realize we are at the end of the age. We are approaching, if not we are already, at the end of the age, to produce the pillar and base of the truth, the Lord's testimony. That really is what the truth does. It produces the testimony of Jesus in this age as a shining lampstand. As a shining lampstand. That's really the burden of the true school. But that means we each have to be constituted one by one. Because the church is made up of us. That's the fifth level of that's the last year's lessons, right? The church, what is the church? The church is us, right? The people, all of us. So So how can the church be the pillar and base of the truth if I don't have the truth, if our young people don't have the truth? What will the church be tomorrow if our young people don't have the truth today? That really is the burden. We're preparing these young people to be the Lord's testimony as the church. But through that, we want them to have the personal experience with the Lord in the Word. And that's very, very important. And this is something that we work on in every true school, but all in this level, when we're covering the Bible, we want every one of them, no matter how young they are, 11 years old, 12 years old, up to the oldest, relationship with the Lord personally through the Word. Amen. Through the Word. And this is all our experience. If you want to know God, you have to know Him through the Word. Through the Word. The Lord becomes personal through the Word. Okay, so somewhat, that's the overall burden. But before we touch the burden more specifically for this year on the Word, we felt it would be good for us to step back for a moment and consider the matter of our service. It's rare that we have this opportunity with saints from so many churches in our area to be together, and that we could receive really some training on our service. Amen. And so what we'll cover in this first session, and I hope everyone have the outline? Yeah. What we'll cover in this first session, the outline for session one, is something more basic that will benefit us not only in the true school, but in all of our service in our churches locally. So we thought it would be good, especially so many young ones among us and so many starting to serve, who don't have that much experience in service, that we could just take some time to receive some training in a more basic way. So let's come to this, for the outline for the first session. Let's read the title together. Serving
and helping people with a burden and needs specific in our care.
Okay, the overall burden is this, the serving with a burden. Serving with a burden. What does that mean? Serving with a burden. What it does not mean is serving merely out of obligation. Not merely out of obligation. Serving not merely out of responsibility, which is actually not bad. We need more people to serve out of responsibility. We don't need people to serve out of mood. That when you're in a good mood, then you serve. No, that the most basic level of commitment is I give myself to this service, so whether I'm up or down, whether I have a burden, don't have a burden, I'm serving. Yeah, we need that. But that's not enough. That's not enough. Let's read Romans 1 together. Church service. Amen. In this, I hope we realize that the first ones we should minister life to is each other, not the young people. So, yes, we're going to focus quite much on how to make all the points real and applicable to the young people. But we should not treat each other as kind of like business associates. We should care for one another. Actually, we should care for one another's growth in life. We should care for one another's enjoyment. Do you pray? Do you pray for the brothers and the sisters that you serve with? Or you only pray for the young people? Do you pray for their enjoyment? Do you pray for their time? Your fellow serving ones, do you pray for their time with the Lord, that they'd have a good morning revival, that they have a fresh touch with the Lord, We should pray like this for one another. We should care for one another. And the service groups are a good opportunity to minister life to one another. Amen. You know, service, the word service in the Bible, the word service, it could mean in a few different things. You know, this word in English, serve, to serve. Sorry, that's an R. In English, also in Spanish, maybe in other languages, that's just one word. But in the Greek, this word, there are different words that are translated serve. And one of them is to serve like as a waiter. You know, a waiter? You know, you serve to distribute things. You're serving people. But there's another word, and it's in English it's the same word, but in Greek it means a kind of service as a slave. Serving as a slave. And then another is serving like a priest. There's different ways. So this word actually means all of them. So for others, when we serve them, that means we are below them. Amen. When you're serving someone, I serve as a slave. Amen. And the Lord, as the top example, he said, I am in your midst as one who serves. You know, this is in Luke. In Luke, it talks about, this is right before he goes to the cross. You know, just before he goes to the cross. This is the end of Luke. They're having a fighting among the disciples. Who's the greatest? It even says, I think it uses the word contention. There was a contention. Who's the greatest? And the Lord answered this by saying, I am in your midst as one who serves. And we know that that night, the night before he was crucified, he actually, this is not in Luke, but in John, it tells us how from the table they're having the supper together. And he leaves the table and he takes off his outer garment. He girds himself with a towel and then he goes to wash their feet, to wash all their feet. This is serving one another, refreshing one another, right? We should have this kind of attitude. This should be the characteristic of our service group meeting. Amen. Not that we come and, okay, what's on the agenda? Let's get to the point. Who's going to share what? Who's going to bring what? All those practical things. Actually, firstly, we should wash one another's feet. Amen. We should refresh each other. And our summer school of truth. You know, we do a lot in groups. We'll talk more about this later. Those of you who have been with us, you know, we give at least equal value and weight to the group time, at least as to the message time. The groups are so important. But in our groups, even though we want them to memorize the verses, we want them to get the point, actually, the first thing is, they should be refreshed when they're with us. Amen. Not condemned. Not presented with a standard what they need to do and accomplish. So they should be refreshed. But this word service also is priestly service. Serve as a priest. Serve as a priest. Which means what? The people that you contact actually... There should be another kind of contact first, a contact this way. That means I'm going to you, but before I go to you, I go to God. And I contact God on your behalf. Then I contact you on God's behalf. That's what service, that's the kind of service we want. And that's the kind of service we want everyone to learn as we serve in our true school. That's how we serve with a burden. Okay, let's read A. Sisters. Yeah, there's a lot that we could say here, but there's some other points this time we want to emphasize on this outline. I'll just say briefly, saints, we always need our love for the Lord renewed. Amen. We all need to renew our love for the Lord every day. Amen. Every day. And ask the Lord to renew our love for Him. It says here, we will not be overcoming for long, unless we have this kind of exercise. Brothers, one, every day we need renewal.
And this renewal has to be refreshed day by day. Every morning we should allow the Lord Jesus, our Son, to rise up in us so that we can be renewed.
You know, every day is a renewal. We live on these 24-hour cycles, right? Certain time, you have to go to sleep, and then you wake up. And when you wake up, not everyone is the cheeriest. I don't know how you were this morning or what time you had to wake up to get here, to be here. Mm-hmm. And we're not always the cheeriest. And we need some time, little time, to get renewed, even physically. Yeah. Psychologically and spiritually. We need our inner being renewed and revived. Okay, number two, sisters. Okay, now we start to introduce this point, burden and be specific, right? A specific burden. Of course, we hope you have this in your locality, but in the true school, it's very important to have specific burden. Of course, we're all going to be in groups, so this is kind of provided to you, that we hope someone in your group, even though you love all of them, are taking care of all of them, all eight, all ten, among the serving saints, some need to pick up a more specific burden. Of course, it's not confined to the people in your group. It might be some other ones that you served last year or 2 years ago and you have a connection with them. It might be the ones from your locality that you don't have the opportunity to hang out with them that much. Now you're here together 10 days. You can find some time to eat dinner with them, to walk with them, talk with them. There's time to carry out something more specific. Okay? Okay, continue. Who's up? Number three, brothers.
In our prayer for the young saints, we should consider ourselves as a small nursing mother.
Amen.
And an exhorting, consoling father.
Amen. These are directly from these verses in 1 Thessalonians. Sisters, B. Yes, here it talks about spending and being spent for people. And then our disposition, Paul's disposition was fully dealt with by the Lord. You know, saints, we need to be honest that some of us, as we go along, we realize our disposition has some elements in it, some things in it that are not so flexible, not so applicable. How do you know that? Because things bother you. people bother you. The kids do something and it bothers you. And that thing bothers you more than the burden that you have to minister Christ to them. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. So you came to the True School because you want to minister the Lord to them. You love them. But now they do something, and that something violates your moral ethics or your standard to such a degree that occupies you. They can't talk to me that way. Well, sure, they can't talk to you that way. They need to be adjusted. They need to be corrected. But that bothering causes you to have a prejudice against them. It's very possible. We've seen this we've seen this in the past. And why is that? Because of our own disposition. Our disposition, our person is such that it doesn't allow the Lord to flow out in an unhindered way. So we need the Lord to work on us and to keep working on us. And we may not realize how much our disposition is really affecting us. I would like for us to read the second set of verses here. 1 Corinthians 9, 16 to 23. I think have not spent that much time in these verses. I think it's just a good opportunity for us to read this. And the spirit of these verses somewhat governs the rest of this outline. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 16 to 23. If you're using the Recovery Version, it's the section on the apostles' faithfulness. Okay, if we have it, let's read together from 16. For if I preach the gospel,
I have no boast, for necessity is laid upon me. For woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if not of my own will, I am entrusted with the stewardship. What then is my reward? That in preaching the gospel, I may present the gospel without charge, so as not to use to the full my right in the gospel. For though I am free from all, I have enslaved myself to all, that I may gain the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, in order that I might gain the Jews. To those under law, as under law, though I myself am not under law, that I may gain those under law. To those without law, as without law, though I am not without law to God, but within law to Christ, that I might gain those without law. To the weak I became weak, that I might gain the weak. To all men I have become all things, that I might by all means save some. And I do all things for the sake of the gospel, that I may become a fellow partaker of it.
It starts, if I preach the gospel, I have no boast, for necessity is laid upon me. That's burden. That's the description of burden. For woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. That's burden. That means I can't not do it. And here it's talking about the gospel. We can broaden this matter because we're actually still preaching the gospel to our young people. Right? So this what we're sharing with them is parts of the gospel. So in our service, it should be this way. I have no boast. I'm not doing people a favor by coming to serve. So we may not say thank you. Don't expect a thank you and a pat. Oh, thanks for coming. I have to serve. Necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I don't serve. I just feel like I can't not serve. If I do this of my own will, I have a reward. If not of my own will, I am entrusted. So it is at your own will. In a sense, you say, I don't know. Is it my will? Am I want to? Is it the Lord's burden? I don't have even time to think about that. I just am here with a kind of a burden. And then, this feeling, to this one, I became that. To this one, I became that. All things to all men. Verse 22 is very touching. To the weak I became weak, that I might gain the weak. Saints, do you know how to become weak? Do you know how to become weak to people? They're weak. When someone's weak, you may think, oh, they need me to be strong, so I'm stronger, so I come to you because you're weaker. Actually, what helps someone who's weak is for you also to be weak. And just come to them. And actually, it's hard for us sometimes to let them know our weakness. That encourages people. But anyway, I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. I do all things for the sake of the gospel, that I may become a fellow partaker of the gospel. So when we have this kind of burden, we become a fellow partaker of the gospel, which means what? There's a supply. There's a supply. You know, the point starts in the outline with 2 Corinthians being spent. So it's a giving. And you may think, oh, if I spend and I'm being spent, then I end up with nothing. Actually, no. You end up as a fellow partaker of the gospel. Then you have more supply than you started with. That's burden. Burden doesn't exhaust us. Actually, burden empowers us more. And Paul is the top example. Else, how could he do all the things? You know, 2 Corinthians 12, in chapters 11 and 12 in 2 Corinthians, he talks about all the things in the deep, right, for a night, and stoned. And then what was the energy for him to continue? You know that story when he's, they're stoned. They bring him out of the city, throw him, they stone. And then he gets up, goes like this, says, we have to preach to other places. And then he keeps. What was the energy? You may think, oh, Paul's too special. He was like Superman. No, but it actually, Paul himself says he's the pattern for all of us. He's an attainable pattern, a followable pattern. So when you see the things of Paul, you shouldn't think, "Oh, I could never attain that." That's just a lie. Actually, you need the Bible to help you to see that that's a lie, to see that that's also yours, and that's the fellow partaking of the gospel. Okay, point two together. Roman, back to the outline. Roman 2. The greatest problem
in the administration of the church and the ministry of the word is not having a burden, not receiving a burden, or not paying attention to a burden. It is not a matter of how well we can administrate, but whether our serving is effective and touch people.
Yeah, and this is really the main point that we'd like to present to you. We do hope that all of us could come serving with a burden. That, in a sense, how the thing administratively comes out, not that important. The important thing is our service effective? And not just the service of the ones who speak the messages. The service in the groups, remember. The groups, and all of us are serving in groups and ministering to 6, 8, 10 young people, that service is effective. Your service would be effective. And if it's not, you'll see later, it should bother you. It should bother you. And we shouldn't just be serving the same way year after year after year with no changes, with no improving. Right. We should have learning, we should have improving. all the time. And here, the last few words, touch people. Our service should touch people. Okay, point A says, we must seek the Lord concerning the issue of our speaking and whether the saints are touched. It is a matter of what is produced in the saints. One, if some are not yet saved, we should receive a burden to bear their souls by the Lord's grace, to sow the seed of salvation into them when we release the word. Our burden is salvation, not the release of a dynamic word. Actually, some come to the truth school now, not saved yet. We've had this experience, right, for a number of years. There are some. Don't take for granted. Some just come. We welcome that. But they shouldn't be here for 10 days and then not saved. What a shame that would be to us. We have to be burdened over their souls. 2 says, if they are saved but do not love the Lord, our burden should be for them to love the Lord. How many are in this category? They come here, but they came here out of obligation. They don't mind being with us, but they don't love the Lord. Some of them are quite positive, but they don't love the Lord supremely. That should burden us. We're not just here going on with our program. 3, if they love the Lord but are not willing to give themselves to the Lord and receive his dealing, our burden should be for them to willingly give themselves to the Lord and be dealt with by him. This is the ministry of the word with a burden. We need to know the condition of those who come to listen to a message or to come to the true school. They might not have any feeling concerning their own condition, but we need to be clear and full of feeling concerning their condition. You know, in Proverbs 27, it says, know well the condition of your flocks and of your herds. So when they come to us, we should realize they're not all the same. You may have 6 girls. Every one of them is different. They're all in 8th grade, or they're all in 10th grade, but they come from a different family. They come from a different local church. They come from a different, maybe, level of society. They're different. Their family situations may be different. Not all our children come from a family with mommy and daddy and siblings and grandma and grandpa. And we should know their family. Some of them will come and they will have just lost their grandma. That happens. And they're sad. Or something happened in their family just before with their older brother. And they're sad. Or their baby sister might be sick. Or something in their family. We should know their condition. It's not one size fits all when we minister the word. We have to reach people. And also, we need to not be distracted by their appearance. Either their clothing, the style of their hair, the color of their hair, or their attitude even. Yes, they all should have a respectful attitude. Yes. And we try to help them with that. We can't survive here together for 10 days if they're not going to be respectful. But they just might not like you at first. And then you don't like them. Have you ever served one you didn't like? But they're in your group. And you could say, I love him, but I really don't like him. You can genuinely say, I love you. Oh, David, I love you in the Lord. I love you in the Lord. But you might not really like this person. They're in your group for 10 days. They're in your room. But we should know, we should realize, sometimes the attitude is because of their situation. Some of these children, they never actually encountered love, genuine love. We need to sympathize. You know, Philippians 1:8, this is the verse listed here, the second verse, Proverbs and then Philippians. You know, since Thanksgiving, we have been in this verse, the conference and Thanksgiving time. For God is my witness how I long after you all in the inward parts of Christ Jesus. In the inward parts of Christ Jesus. We need to have this experience, saints. Sure, as we go on, this experience will deepen. As we mature, there's a deeper experience. But it's not too much for all of us to enter into such an experience of this, that we would love the young people in the inward parts of Christ. That means we're one with the Lord, and we have our feeling toward them is Christ's feeling toward them. You know, last week in Seattle, we had one message. Actually, it was all on the book of Philippians, on the experience of Christ. And we had this one message concerning the mind of Christ. And it says in chapter 2, you know, remember, this is there's no chapter divisions. This was a letter Paul was writing. So here he says, I long after you in the inward parts of Christ. And shortly after he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What is Christ's mind about that girl, about that young man? What does Christ think about them? Right. At least you have to realize, I don't think about you the same way Christ does. That's a good place to start. Right. To realize, yes. I know that the Lord Jesus does not think this about you the way I think. He doesn't feel the same way I do. Or I don't feel the same way he does. But within these few days, I want to align myself with his feeling. I want to let his mind be in me. I want to let his feeling be in me toward that young person. Continuing on the outline. One who ministers the word should bear people's condition before God. He bears the responsibility of knowing their needs. Saints, the verse listed here, 2 Corinthians 11:29. I hope we could read this verse together. 2 Corinthians 11:29. I think we're not too familiar with this verse. Let's read together. 2 Corinthians 11:29. Who is
weak and I am not weak. Who is stumbled and I myself do not err.
When we're ministering to others, we should know their condition. Are they weak? Are they stumbled? You know, there's some people, they're in our meeting, but they're actually stumbled. We didn't realize they're stumbled. You know, just before this, in the earlier verses from 23 on to 27, he talks about all the things he went through. This is what I was referring to before. In labors more abundantly, 23, in imprisonments more abundantly, in stripes excessively, in deaths often, under the hands of the Jews, 24. Five times I received 40 stripes, less one, and so on. And then in verse 28, it says, apart from these things which have not been mentioned, those all the outward things he experienced, there is this, the crowd of cares pressing upon me, the anxious concern for all the churches. Actually, more than all those external things and sufferings, what really is burning in me, what bothers me, what preoccupies me is the churches, which means what? The saints. Who is weak? Because he must have thought of some. There are some that are weak. Who is weak? And I am not weak. I'd like to let them know I'm weak also. Who has stumbled? And not that I'm stumbled, but I'm burning. I ache for them. Do you see the difference? Who is weak? Oh, I'd like to let you know. I'd like to let you know, Dean, I'm also weak. I know you're weak, brother, but I'm also weak, and the Lord sustained me. But he might be stumbled. I don't say, I'm also stumbled. No, no, no. With this, oh, I burn. I feel what you feel. I feel what you feel. But brother, I hope you wouldn't be stumbled. I like to help you from your being stumbled. But you can't help people if you don't know. And once then, there's some react. Some are not interested in our message because they're weak. They're discouraged by something. Others, it's because they're stumbled by something. You have to know the difference so that you can help them individually. We have to know people's condition. It goes on. We need to sense their condition and know what God wants to speak to them. Again, saints, it's not one size fits all. There may be one message delivered here, but when we go to the groups, when we're with them individually, we need to minister the Lord personally to them. They may be able to sit and listen peacefully week after week, but we cannot speak peacefully week after week. We need to receive the burden to, quote unquote, disturb and trouble them so that even if they come to the meeting peacefully, they will be inwardly disturbed when they leave. That means our message reached them. I remember a brother once said this, I mentioned this some time ago, that whenever you speak, the people should be sad, mad, or glad. Sad, mad, or glad. Sad because you touched something them. They got exposed in their situation. Mad. We don't want people to be mad. But sometimes people, they don't like what you said. That's better than being there peacefully. And they just nod and they leave and they don't agree with you. They're not touched. They don't agree with you. They just leave. But nothing happened. But if they're mad at you, that means, oh, you reach them. That's okay. They'll be glad later or sad later. And then some we of course hope some are glad too. D. If we are not concerned that our speaking does not produce any effect in those who listen, we do not have a burden. This situation indicates that those who speak, those who listen are in a routine. This is the condition of degraded Christianity. And we have to admit that sometimes in our church life, we just have routine. We've had periods of time in our service, just routine. We just go out of responsibility. Okay, better than nothing. Better than nothing. But we shouldn't settle for a routine kind of church life. Okay, let's read 3 together, Romans 3. Okay, A, sisters. Okay, brothers, to save time, please go to C. C.
Some say that it is easy to lose their burden after a period of time. However, those who have been shown mercy receive burdens continually. It is a serious problem if our burden disappears after we have worked for some.
Sisters, one. And brothers, too.
Whenever our service becomes a matter of fulfilling an obligation, our service has already degraded. Genuine service is not a matter of obligation, but a matter of burden. Burden always goes beyond obligation.
Amen. And Romans 4 is more specific to our local situation, so we'll leave that part. Maybe we'll just stop here. How about we have some prayer. Let's have some prayers all together, somewhat to digest what we have heard and to respond to anything that the Lord may have touched us with.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Oh, charge us with such a burden, with love.
Amen.